Hello, everyone. Tiffany here on the Deep Dive podcast with Stephen.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome back to another episode. And hey, Stephen, I've got a question for you. How good are you with recycling your waste?
Oh, I think I'm pretty good. I mean, I'm fully recyclable myself. That's why they keep bringing me back for different parts of work at the channel.
That's not what I meant. Unless you see yourself as waste.
I'm sustainable.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But in general, you will try and sort out your
I do sort. Glass, aluminium cans. Yeah, yeah. I will make an effort to recycle them.
Okay. Yeah, because the reason why I ask is that the Beverage Container Return Scheme, BCRS for short, begins today on April 1st.
That's right.
Not an April Fool's joke. Nope. Yeah. And in case you... Nobody here is familiar with this new acronym. This is how it works. When you buy a beverage that comes in a metal or plastic container that has a deposit mark or a sticker in this transition phase, you can return it at dedicated return points across Singapore, and you will get a refund of 10 cents per container.
So in other words, you're paying 10 cents more for that drink, but when you return the container, you get your 10 cents back.
Not necessarily, because some retailers and importers also have said that prices may go up by 20 to 60 cents. But what is clear is that when you go return it back at the machine, you will at least get 10 cents back.
Okay, so there are a few questions, as you can see, in our brains churning already. It's not just on the customer, but it seems also the back end, the producers, the ones making the drinks, selling the drinks, even the restaurants, the outlets, all those people get involved. But how's it going to work for everyone? And what does it mean for you, finally, at the end of the day, when you buy that drink?
Well, that's what we'll be getting in today. So with us today, we have Stephanie Ip. She's the Chief Executive of the Beverage Container Return Scheme. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
And we also have Lionel Dorai. He's the Executive Director of Zero Waste Singapore. Welcome.
Hello.
All right, Stephanie, let's kick in and start with you. Give us the basics, the 30-second
version.
That's
a really large question, a 20-second version.
Okay, give you 45 seconds, yeah.
Okay, thanks for the 45 seconds. It means a lot. Basically, when a consumer goes and buys a drink and it has a deposit mark, they expect to pay another 10 cents for the deposit, right? Mm-hmm. And after they pay that 10 cents, if they want to get the 10 cents back when they finish drinking it, if they can give it a quick rinse and return it at one of the return ride machines in your void deck in a supermarket that's larger than 200 square meters, they'll get the 10 cents back.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, so that makes sense.
But you have to wash it first. But what if I'm not near a
We encourage you to wash it if you can, because obviously the cleaner it is, then the less residual there'll be, and it'll be more comfortable for everybody in the whole process of collection as well as sorting.
But then if I don't like the drink and I just want to immediately get my 10 cents back, I took like maybe two sips. What am I going to do with the rest of the drink that's in it? Like just straight away pour it down the drain?
You should dispose it properly, of course. Okay. Maybe in a sink somewhere. Don't throw it on the floor. Don't throw it around my machine, preferably, because obviously people have to clean that up.
Yeah.
Or in a drain, if it's polite enough of a beverage that you don't like.
I mean, the whole idea of rinsing, of course, also makes sense, because you don't want a sweet drink in there. The ants will come. Other things will come. But going back to 10 cents, how was that price sort of determined? Mm.
I can't speak to why the 10 cents was created by the government.
So somebody decided, after doing all the math, that 10 cents made sense. In fact, it reminds me of the old days when you had glass bottles for your soft drinks and you would return it and get your 10 or 15 cents back as well. So it's kind of come full circle. For you, Lionel, does this whole scheme make sense? And do you think it's going to work?
Yeah, definitely it makes sense. And in fact, we were anticipating BCRS back then when we started one of our campaigns called Sort It Out. So we wanted to teach or educate the public on how to sort at home. And then eventually there will be some infrastructure, which is what we call multi-stream recycling infrastructure at the community space that will be complementary to this habit, you see. Yeah. So now BCRS is in. It's definitely something that we are looking forward to for the longest time.
Okay. But you were saying how we're trying to educate people in terms of how they can recycle better, right? So now, in this case, it does require a bit more effort. So, there's a bit of concern that, will we be able to get that? Will people bother? After all, it is only 10 cents, so to speak.
Actually, prior to Country Relief, a lot of data that we have so far shows that in the past 5 years, we do see a sort of a mindset shift in Singapore. Where residents are actually a bit more open to the idea of doing some form of sustainability-related habitual change on the ground, as long as they know certain information, like where or why, or in fact, why must we do it to begin with? Do we see the community doing it? Is government talking about it? Yeah, so something that's very interesting is that when all these pieces are put together, then chances are a lot of the consumers are willing to say, okay, let me take a look at what this is. Mm.
But we have decided to basically make the consumers hurt first by paying for that, you know, 10 cents and then getting it back in a refund. So is that telling of like the way we behave when it comes to recycling? Like, we need a stick kind of approach and a carrot approach.
Oh, we've been known to be a fine city for a long time, right?
I mean, I would see this as a fine, but we're kind of like sort of telling them that, you know, you get it back, but first you have to pay for it. Is that how we, you know, has that been the case when it comes to recycling?
What I understand is that this deposit return scheme was kind of formed by a citizens work group back in 2019. Right, so a deposit scheme isn't new. I think they have it it's all over Europe as an example, which is where a couple of our machines are coming from. And I can't decide if we call it a carrot or a stick. But how I like to think about like the 10 cents is now it's kind of created a value for that packaging if you don't want it. Right? And it encourages you to say, hey, if you don't want to kind of put it back in somewhere where it can be recycled, then maybe somebody else would.
We
encourage people to think about it that way, right? So carrot or stick, I think there have been different people sharing opinions about that. One of the things I really try to do is we're hoping this process becomes fun over time. But you know, at first we're going to start with just trying to be as clear as possible, to be as transparent as we can, and obviously to be as accessible to people as possible as well.
What are things that you are anticipating will happen?
I'm anticipating that people will be frustrated when we start off because there's a longer transition period, and that not everything on 1st April on the shelf will have a deposit mark, right? So I think we've already seen that as we deploy the machines, there's so many excited people. I have people putting cans on my machine. Oh. Like people stuffing bottles inside the feed.
Right.
But we haven't even started yet.
Yeah.
So I look at it as excitement. I think people are going to bring a bunch of their recyclables. Great.
Okay.
And they're going to be super frustrated when you go like, why is your machine not accepting my container?
Mm. Actually, for now, will it accept any glass bottle? Or must it have
so
that
Steve,
mark?
No glass. Oh, we are only taking plastic and metals.
Okay, okay.
And it's between 150 ml to 3,000 ml
so
or 3
specific.
Liters.
So what kind of things can be recycled? What will qualify?
An aluminum can.
Okay.
A PET bottle as an example.
These are the main those plastic bottles, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So that's what we'll see majority of the packaging to be like. We have observed as well as we, you know, register different products. There are a lot of new innovative type packaging in the marketplace. So each time that happens, we normally ask them to test and you'll see if it fits the machine well or not. And is the machine able to read and accept it?
So the
but
machine
primarily
will...
PET, bottles and aluminum cans.
So the machine will recognize that 10 cents sticker, and if it doesn't have that or the mark, and if it doesn't have that, it will reject the container.
Fundamentally, it will read the container and the packaging.
Okay.
So it has some capability to read the sizing. That's why it needs to be empty, because it does have some level of measuring the weight. It does read other types of signs.
Mm. Does that also mean that during this transition where there will be, you know, cans which don't have the label, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will they be accepted?
No.
Okay.
They shouldn't. And if you do, can you please let me know?
Okay.
Okay.
But I'm just imagining that some mom and pop shops, right, where they have old inventories, they will be keeping some of these old bottles that they will be selling anyway. So if I'm the consumer, right, and then I am at these mom and pop shops, I reach into the refrigerator, do I have to go and check that it has a 10 cents thing, and then will auntie and uncle charge me extra 10 cents if it has, and then if don't have, then they will not charge me the extra 10 cents. How is that going to look like for them to square their expenses at the end of the month?
Exactly. So make sure that if it has a deposit mark and it has that 10 cents, then you pay for that 10 cents and you should be having it recognized in your receipt as well, because the 10 cents doesn't attract a GST application on it. So that's critical. And any retailer is supposed to recognize that. So yes, from the 1st of April to the end of September, there might be some confusion because some packaging may have 10 cents and some packaging doesn't. But you only need to pay for the 10 cents when there is that deposit mark on it.
Okay. Right. Okay, to be fair, this is a transition period. Eventually, all containers will come with the labelling, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so for now, just drink less soft drinks.
Maybe. I wouldn't encourage
that's the best.
That.
They need to clear
drink
inventory
as much as you want now. Yeah. In fact, drink more later.
But Lionel, when you speak to, let's say, these retailers, right, the uncles and aunties in your Heartland shops, do they also register some of these things, their concerns to you? Mm.
Yes, yes. So some of the concerns that you mentioned or that you hear in the news now already are some things that we hear on the ground also. I think the most important, as per any scheme that is rolled out, right, there's always that the uncertainty because there's something changing, especially in your business model. So the same narrative we always give to them is definitely write it out the first part. There will be these dealing issues. By the end of the day, they need to know at least minimally who to contact if, let's say, they have some issues that they're facing on the ground. Yeah, because I believe there's a lot of different contacts out there now to help all these different retailers or even members of public also to help to ease them into the issue.
Mm. Yeah, and the start, the transition is always difficult. You know, the new phase, how to use it, how to do it, and, you know... convenience is a major part of all this. You know, you guys say they're going to be, what, a goal is to have 90% of HDB residents to be within a 5-minute walk of a return point. Yeah, but even then, some people are going to say, that's kind of far away. Kind of just throw it down my chute, you know, isn't there?
Then they don't get the 10 cents back.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, how big does convenience, that part, how much of a role does it play in...
recycling.
Yeah.
In Singapore?
Yes.
A very big role. Yeah, so... when we rolled out the Sorted Out initiative, what happened was that we wanted to do a survey, island-wide survey, to test this.
Okay.
What is the limit, you see? There are some interesting facts that we found out. First of all, convenience is definitely one of the top reasons why they don't do it to begin with. And I think we see a very good linkage to how our society functions. You know, the idea of efficiency.
Yeah.
Every time that we have is precious. You know, don't ask me to do something that detours and all. Yeah, so that's one. So the location, I think the fact that we are putting it everywhere as close as we can, I think that is really very good. That's one. The second one that we found out that was interesting is the idea of the incentive. So apparently, our residents are okay with having no incentives as long as you teach them how to do it.
Okay.
So in other words, they need to know all the details of the scheme. Or whatever new habit that they need to take up. And also they need to know or they need to have confidence that this works. Yeah. And then once they have this, chances are they may be able to actually start some form of habit at home. Mm-hmm. As per a lot of countries around, all those who actually do this scheme, the deposit return scheme, we do see the initial part having a lot of resistance. So I think this actually will help at the start for you know, different demographics to start to take a look at, okay, maybe I should start using this because of money, you know.
Mm. Oh, but interesting. I never thought people would be, you know, that you're saying we are more willing to do more, actually. So in fact, we could split bottle cap one area, cut out the label, put it in another box. And, you know,
we're not ready for that yet.
But I know, I remember reading that there is a group of residents in Tiong Bahru, right, that they said no to the blue recycling bin. Mm. So they would rather bring their recyclable trash down to the community centre and sort it out
Why? They want a blue bin near...
Yeah, because they would rather, you know, do this themselves by sorting it out one by one.
They felt they could do better.
Yes, exactly.
Then rather than just one big bin.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, that's
the
right.
The blue bins were making them feel blue.
Yeah. No, one could say they had been there, done that, you know. Yeah.
Okay, guys, joke it out with your jokes. Sure.
I think echoing that, you know, just talking about, you know, is 5 minutes too far or not? I mean, that's why I think part of the website is suggest where you want your REM to be, right?
Okay, so I can actually go onto the website and say I would like an RVM at this location.
In fact,
then you will put it. How quick will you be introducing it?
How quick? It depends on the demand and the kind of the passage.
So just I'll ask all my neighbors. Crowdsource.
Do that. Okay. You know, because we're already seeing a lot of people get excited. Some people are like, "Is this the same person voting or is it not?" Right.
Oh, right.
We love it, right? Because that's going to give us a sense of where you want it to be as well.
Okay, give us a ballpark right now. How many of these machines are out there in the market?
In excess of 1,000.
Okay, and how many can you scale up to?
Well, right now, based on what SMS has said, he said we'll double the collection point. So that's the target.
And do you have...
Well, we need to double that meaningfully, right? And I think that's where I'm really grateful for all the partnership we're having with folks, right? It's no use just dumping a collection point for the sake of being there because all it does is increase costs, right? And producers are kind of bearing the producer fee of trying to do the collections back right now.
Yeah.
So it's our responsibility as well to make sure that, you know, that we're putting it in a place where the machine is well utilized and it's accessible to people in the right way.
Correct.
And where they find it, I guess, convenience. And convenience is such a subjective conversation right now, right? Because there are people who, you know, you'll say, hey, you know, I'm already recycling. Is this making it more difficult or is making it easier? So we're going to learn.
Mm. I mean, I guess the whole idea is that after a while, it becomes a part of life. We change our habits, you know, and it becomes routine. So you're not thinking about the 10 cents, so to speak. But at the same time, we got to ask you, where's the money going? So the 10 cents that I'm paying,
yes,
where does it go?
The 10 cents goes back to the consumer,
okay,
essentially, right? So it starts off with the producer paying the consortium, which is this scheme, which is YNM, the scheme operator, the 10 cents, right? And then when they sell that product to the retailer or whoever's selling it onwards for them, or to the trade, as an example, an F&B outlet, the F&B outlet needs to then pay the producer because the 10 cents will be part of their invoicing. Mm. After which, when they sell it to the consumer then pays the outlet or the retailer that they're buying it from, and the 10 cents follows the container, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah. So it gets returned in one of my machines, and then we collect it back.
Okay, that's the money. But I remember you earlier on, you said that the producers will be the ones who will collect the bottles back, right? So they're in charge of that. Then what happens?
And that's why that's what we are, right? Yeah. As the license scheme operator, we are a consortium and we're a producer-led scheme. So it's the producers who have come together to form the scheme operator and to fund it.
Yeah. Just to help you understand, producers actually refer to the drink manufacturers, for example, right? These are the guys making the canned drinks, the bottled drinks, yeah.
Who's considered an importer. So okay. Singapore is a high import market.
Right.
So many importers also form part of my producer network.
So they take the bottles or the aluminium, you know, cans back, and then they will recycle outside of
Singapore.
When they
say they really mean through me.
Okay.
Where does it go?
Essentially, what we'll do is that we collect on a daily basis everything that's collected inside the return right machine, and then we bring it back to my counting and sorting facility, parked somewhere in the west side of Singapore, as most of our industry is. After which we count and sort at the facility, and then we then take it off to sell it to recyclers.
Okay.
And that's part of our commitment,
right.
Yeah.
Which is
a licensed operator.
Yeah, which is kind of what we are also doing in our recycling journey here in Singapore, right?
Is there sometimes confusion about what can really be recycled? Mm. Right? Like some milk carton packs versus a waxed coffee cup. I mean, sometimes you're not sure. I'm not sure, I gotta admit.
Yes, definitely we do see a huge confusion on the ground now. And that's the reason why we have our contamination rates, you know, skyrocketing. In fact, a lot of the work that we do on the ground when we go door to door and all that, you'll be surprised at what people think recycling is.
Yeah.
So there's the whole saying of wish cycling, right? Thinking that you're recycling correctly, but actually what's happening is actually you might be contaminating the bins that we have now. So I'll give you one very simple example. Actually, a lot of people think that toys can be recycled.
Okay, like plastic toys.
Plastic toys.
Okay.
Yeah, but the truth is, mixed material items cannot be recycled. So I always like to share with, in my talks, right, there's an easy way to remember for plastics.
Oh yeah, what's that?
Just remember this phrase, I want to fight for the environment. I want to fight for the environment.
Oh, so you're giving the number 1, 2, 5, and 4.
Yes.
So those
so
are the numbers
that you will see
on the plastic containers.
Yes.
Okay.
Easiest way to remember.
Okay.
There are exceptions, but mainly these are the few that we usually encourage.
So the plastic toy car, if I flip it upside down, it should have a number on it.
No.
Too.
Chances are they don't have.
Ah.
From experience. Yeah. So
then you want to, I don't.
So easiest way for toys, please. Give it to somebody else.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think a lot of it points to education, right? If you don't know, you wouldn't know how to do this. And I think, you know, I mean, growing up, there's always been this reuse, reduce, recycle, and we try our best to educate people. Where are we in this journey of actually understanding our our recycling efforts?
As I mentioned just now, I think in the past 5 years, actually, we do see a real change on the ground. The reception, or at least I would say the ground, is soft enough for us to actually do this. So I'm glad BCRS is actually coming in at this juncture. At the same time, as much as we are ready, the education still needs to be a lot more improved. What I mean is that there needs to be a few things that need to be taken note of at the residents' point of view. Number one, reality is we need to rebuild the confidence in recycling in Singapore. Meaning to say that we have to tell them why. Why do we need to do it, you know, as a society, why? Especially being a cleaned society, right?
Yep.
So another reason is how to recycle. You know, at the same time, we know that, you know, the residents are recycling, or they think they're recycling, which means that good is a good thing. Yeah, but the question is, the education needs to come in to help to raise the recycling rate.
I want to go back a little bit more to this scheme, because I think, you know, since we have you in the hot seat, we want to try and understand this a little bit more. With the producers, because you represent the producers, right? With the producers, it's going to be a lot of effort also for them to, you know, be part of this scheme, because there's going to be a lot of money that they will have to spend, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, whether is it collecting and, you know, sending it to somewhere else to sort it out and all this kind of stuff. What about those maybe smaller producers? You know, I know that there's a grant available to them, but then is that kind of enough for them?
I think there are different types of models. So maybe we read it back a little bit. The producers aren't the ones going out to collect and put it back.
Okay.
The producers have come together, right? Because this is an EPR, right? That's formed by a consortium of producers, right? For producers. So it's a producer-led EPR. So an EPR is an extended producer responsibility. Mm. And in that format, what I'm saying is that the producers have to pay a producer fee to the scheme operator to help execute on their behalf what is now their technical responsibility to collect back their packaging.
Yeah.
So right. They're not the ones going out to collect.
Oh, yes, but they will have to pay for it.
That's right. That's right. They have to pay for it, right? So in that circumstance, what we have... Well, the journey so far has shown me that there are different types of producers out there selling a multitude of different types of what we consider types of products, right? And what we've really done is sat down with many of them and sat through what can be helping them to operationalize better as well. Mm.
But this really is a long-term goal, right? I mean, what kind of a goal are we working towards?
There's the goal that the government has set me, and then there's the goal that I set for my team.
How much are you giving yourself, like 5 years or something, or you know?
Well, the first year, it's really going in excess of 60%. That's okay. What we need to be targeting to kind of hit what as a licensed operator, what we need to be doing. And it goes from 10% every year after that till it hits about 80%.
So okay. When you say that 60% means you want 60% of the bottles with the muck returned back to you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that would be your idea of success. Is 60% and every year we grow by 10%.
My personal idea.
Okay, what is your personal idea then?
Is that, you know, you have to be like Singapore. You got to score more than just what your basic is. Nah, right.
You want to be that A-star student.
I mean, not that I am, because I'm definitely far from being an A-star student. But we do want to score above that. And, you know, that's a whole balancing act of where we are going to look at our risks and how we're going to kind of manage the cost in doing that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you look at what, like, you know, Lionel and his team and all the other, I think, folks who have already been on the ground, you know, I think softening the ground to explain to people the importance of it. We look at ourselves as having the opportunity now to do something that's right. And it's really to show where it's going to be recycled and to be transparent about it.
Yeah.
And to work with all these groups about how we're doing this, right? So, you know, I always tell the producers, you know, there's always this threat. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Are you really going to continue? Well, if you're going to make this large investment now, you're going to make it count.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And we have an opportunity to help sensitize, I think, Singaporeans who know, hey, every packaging has a difference. They're not all made the same. And there's some value in some of the packaging, which is what we have now. We have value in some of the plastics and value some of the metals, and that's what we get to do. We get to find people who want to buy them from me and then recycle them.
Mm. Right.
Which forms part of my revenue as well.
Okay.
If you think about what the scheme is about.
Actually, yeah. I might go one step further also. Value to the waste is definitely one of it. Mm-hmm. But we do see that this scheme will actually give higher consciousness instead of waste for the resident. So we call it waste consciousness.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it will translate into something that we want to do further on or up the scale, which is mindful consumption.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For example, from my own experience, for example, right, if the day that I started sorting, I started to realize that I have a lot of plastic bags.
Okay.
Eventually, I had a lot more less plastic bags
because of the
consciousness now of the waste that I have that led to mindful consumption.
I hate to be like the doomsday scenario kind of person, but Stephanie, are there certain things that maybe keep you up at night, worried that, you know, parts of this scheme might
everything
not work?
Everything keeps me up. If my eye bags aren't showing through this, I don't know what
it is. It's okay. Let's say, for example, I go to the machine and then, you know, it doesn't give me my 10 cents back, or, you know, something happens. I mean, Singaporeans will go onto Reddit and then they will start complaining and then they will start writing to the media, people like us and everything. And if these issues persist, would that also cause Singaporeans to have some form of recycling fatigue after a while?
So I can't say there's something that's specific that keeps me up at night, but it's stuff that I know that we can't control. So things like, hey, if the tech isn't working, as an example, you're not getting your money back, we need to solve that. We need to solve that really quickly. right? Mm. And that's where we're working with our partners, right? From the payment options to the RVM manufacturers to what's causing those kind of issues. And we've also put in plans on how you're able to then call customer service and, you know, okay. report that your transaction went through but you didn't get your money back, and then we can investigate accordingly. So okay. it's a lot of work.
So at the end of the day, Lino, when we look at this BCRS, you know, the beverage container return scheme, at the end of the day, when it's a success, do you think that this will be the start of us sorting, you know, helping Singaporeans sort out our trash individually? Let's say there'll be one for paper and then one for, you know, something else. Glass.
Yes, definitely. I do feel this is a start. Yes, it's our hopefully not too far away dream. That's the reality. Okay. That's why we decided to bring in multi-stream recycling to begin with. And why I say it's good is because, first of all, now there is a real impetus for individuals to start to think about that specific material that they and where does it go to. So eventually, as I mentioned, right, it will translate to the rest of the items. And with infrastructure coming in, I don't know whether you can see, but there's actually multi-stream recycling infrastructure around in Singapore already,
right.
Like in your malls and all that.
Yeah.
I would think that it will become mainstay, that if I'm going to put this somewhere and if it's clean and I can, you know, recycle it, I will think of where to put it.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's the next conversation that will be in the mind of the individual.
Yeah.
So, and I think there's also a congruency to education. The fact that we are all a bit more educated as we go along. Even our elderly, so because we are growing elderly population, but they are also getting more and more educated. And that also would mean that if they have a free time and I have all these items, we
see
a change that they will want to actually do it.
Yeah.
Well, we're basically just starting the journey, I guess.
Day one.
We're introducing more factors in the journey. But after a while, if we all get used to it, then really the whole idea is that I won't even think about it. I won't even think about the fact that I'm recycling. You know
That's
what I mean?
My dream.
It becomes part and parcel of life.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
on that note, you know, we wish you all the best with the scheme. And for all of you out there, if you're using it, you're trying it out, you have, you know, it's just started, let us know what you think. What are some of the bumps and kinks you found along the way, and whether it's really changed your view of what recycling is like.
Yeah. So that's it from us.
Yep.
We'll see you again next week.
Yeah, we're back again next week, every week, because we are recyclable.
Recyclable.
You know, yeah. Bye for now.
Bye.